Blog Talk Radio.
I woke up that morning and started over. I had done a whole lot of work, and it's like the Most High said, you know what, you need to do this way. And so I got up and I went at it from a completely different perspective, using, you know, they keep saying the reason that we were submitting for the grant that we were submitting for was, you know, because they had been prejudiced toward people of color, you know, blacks and Indians and so forth, and that, you know, that they had not treated us fairly. Time, you know, I'm looking at this and saying, you know, you want us to promote you and your services, but it's been you and your services that have been the problem for us. The fact that, you know, we could qualify and you would not give us the money, you would blatantly just, you know, discriminate based upon color. And so I went back and rewrote everything from that perspective that, you know, I would teach these things, but my method for seeing how successful we were or are going to be is based upon how much of the money that they give to people who apply of color, especially if they come through my program. Because traditionally, no matter what, they wouldn't give us the money. So, you know, I told them that would be my modus operandi. You know, I would train them on their programs, but I would measure our success is not on how well they did during the training or anything like that, or that they applied. The success is, did you give them the money that they were applying? Because, you know, no matter what, they have traditionally just blatantly discriminated. So I went back and rewrote things that way to say that, you know, that would be my measurement of success, money that they actually gave to the people rather than if they just submitted, because they've been submitting in the past and getting disapproved. So that's not the measure of success. To say, yeah, we reached out to them or they reached out to us. But the measure is how many of them did you actually help? And so that's the way I submitted it. You know, I had looked at it before, sort of put it down, went back to it. Like, I woke up that morning and it's like, you know, I was just being told, hey, no, you need to do it this way. This is what they're saying. Then you need to, you know, just take it right in the teeth where it's at. It's not about whether the people are trained. It's not about if they apply. The pink elephant in the room is you, USDA, and your prejudice behavior toward, you know, people of color and so forth, people of underserved communities. So our measurement of success is, yeah, we're going to tell people about your program, but the measure of success, whether you actually funded them or not, that's the measurement, because that's what the problem is. So we're going to go ahead and move on this evening, and we're continuing in this precept of false salvation. And I said that we were going to continue in vainly do they worship me? Because, you know, we got to look at what causes people to vainly worship the Most High. And then I want to look at bastard children. And I'm still trying to tie down how the Most High chastise. And I want to get real examples so that we can understand this is a punishment and this is chastisement. This is a correction meant to correct you. This is meant to destroy you or to hurt you. So I will probably hold off on that one until I clear it up so that you know, there's clarity in the teaching. But on today, we're going to continue in vainly do they worship me? Because he's talking to believers. They're worshiping him. So he says, in vanity. Now, this one should slap some people in the face for the simple reason it just should. But we are going to go ahead and do what we're supposed to do. We're going to do our statement of faith, and we're going to pray in, and then we're going to jump into this one because it is the more that I'm doing this series, the more that it really is a wake-up call for people that, hey, am I stuck in the wide gate? Because few there are that find the straight and narrow. So if we're truly, you know, looking to be saved and looking for salvation, then we have to question just where are we at? Am I in that wide gate that leads to destruction, or have I found the straight and narrow that leads to life? Because clearly these people believe that they were in the straight and narrow. The Messiah said, get away from me. So the more I dig into this, the more that shows me that it's not the big things that are going to keep you out of the kingdom. It's the little things that you allow yourself to believe that aren't true. And so we're going to look at this on this evening. All right, that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. Men and ladies, cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. Faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just thank you, O Yah Elohim, and we lift you up today, Father, and we magnify your name, for truly you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You are my Elohim, Father, and another will I not follow, Father, but only you. Only your voice will I listen to, Father, and we just want to give you glory on today, Father. I just want to tell you, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Yah. I love you. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done for me, everything you're going to do. Hallelujah. You're worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise. You truly are. You're worthy, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us. For this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you have called the Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come, and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. The sounding. No, let's do our scriptures first. Our scriptures for today. Let's go to 1 Kings, and I'm gonna personalize this. The book of 1 Kings. And let me get back to where I was at. Pardon me just a second. Lost my place. Okay. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And the word of the Most High reads. We're starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. Who are reading along with me, understand that I am putting this in the personal context. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, far or near, so that the enemy carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and shall pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of you but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways? You need to underline that. Walk in all his ways. To love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy father giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third, the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8. And verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Pray that Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
prepare your way before you. For I say unto you, among these that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than Elkanah the immerser. But he that is least in the kingdom of Yahuwah is greater than he. Elkanah the immerser was not the light, but light, HaMashiach. We have become that light. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it on a bed, but sets it on a menorah, that they which enter in may see the light. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
We give you glory for your name's sake.
It's a
Matthew chapter 7. Let us go ahead and jump into this precept. And let's get our reference verses here because we want to keep this always before us. This is a powerful word, you know, from our Messiah. And again, what gets me with this is that these are believers. These are not unbelievers or not believers. These are people who believe in Messiah. He still says that there is a group that believe in me that are not going to make it, that are not going to enter in. Okay. Let's start in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, shall your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Treat people how you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter you in at the straight gate. That's our reference verse. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. So my understanding of this, as I've studied it out, and go back and continue to meditate on it, and continue to dig and study it out, is that most of the time, mostly, we all enter in at the wide gate. And through our studying and through our transformation, we're supposed to find the narrow gate. Most do not automatically start by entering in at the narrow gate. And as we learn and as we become obedient, then we should find the narrow gate. Okay, but he's saying that there's few that find it. Few that find it. And so we have to understand that we got two groups of people. We got all believers in one group. Now we got to split those all believers. We got to section them off into two groups, the many and the few. Many are not going to make it. Only a few are. This is what he's saying to us. Many of the believers are not going to make it. Only the few are. And so with that knowledge and understanding, then we have to search for the straight and the narrow gate. We have to find out, how do we get into that? Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 15, the book of Matthew chapter 15. As I said, as I dig into this more, and as I, you know, I'm asking the Most High to make this to where I can make it clear to people that they, you know, they have a choice, and it's up to every man or woman to choose. But make it to where I can make it clear to them so that they can see their choice, and whatever they choose, that's on them. You know, it's not up to me to get them into the gate. Up to me to show them the gate and to tell people. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to get verses 8 and 9. Well, actually, let's do this. Doesn't matter what I'm about to go into in this portion that we're talking about. Vainly, in vain do they worship me. And so we have to find out, how is it that they worship him in vain? But then if we can find out how they worship him in vain, then at least we have the information we need not to do it. Can't say that, you know, I can't make anybody do anything. But I can show you so you have the information. What you do with the information, that's on each of us. So let's start in verse 1 in this instance. We're going to read down through 8 and 9. But this whole thing is dealing with the subject matter. Then came Yeshua's scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Underline that. The traditions of the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of Elohim? By your tradition. So we got a conflict here. We got the tradition of the elders, which is going to later be called the doctrines of men. The doctrines of men, the traditions of the elders. Okay? For Elohim commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Now, anybody in the scriptures, according to the law, if you curse your father or your mother or you hit them, according to the law of the Most High, you're supposed to die. It was just that simple. You didn't do that. It was a death sentence. But they didn't want to do what the law called for. What? You really want us to kill our children if they say something back to us, if they curse us, or if they hit us? Told you to do. So they didn't want to keep the commandments of the Most High. So Messiah said, you by your tradition transgress the commandments of the Most High. Let's keep going. For Elohim commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Stone him. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. So whatever I do with your child, it's a gift. And you should be happy with that. I ain't obligated to you. That's not what the Most High said. To honor your father and your mother. That's not just to treat them with respect. That's to also take care of them in their old age. As they took care of you in your young age, you expect the children to take care of the father and the mother in their old age. That's to honor them. Okay? And honor not his, and but you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Now, this is what they're saying. Thus have you made the commandments of Elohim of none effect by your tradition. You stand the exact opposite of what the Most High said, what he gave as a command. If I'm a child, if your child, whatever they do for you, you'd be happy with it. Said. Okay. You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. We love you, Yah. We love God. We love the Most High. I love you, Jesus. You draw nigh unto me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In truth, you ain't following me. You doing what you want to do and using my name. But in vain do they worship me. Underline that. In vain do they worship me. For nothing. They worship me for nothing. Their worship of me is not going to get them anything. It's in vanity. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So, we got to look at some of those things. For doctrine, the commandments of men. It can be our own doctrine. How we feel about a certain thing. How we feel that this is the right way this should be interpreted or said or done. So we have to check ourselves. Because we just might be one of those people who are teaching our own doctrine or someone else's, but not the Most High. That's why I always have to check myself. Always. Make sure it's not me. Because in the doctrine of men or my own doctrine. And I want to make sure that I don't walk that way. And that I don't lead you into that. So the doctrines of men, this is how they vainly worship him, because they're saying, this is how the Most High wants to be worshipped. This is how you should serve him. This is what you should do, but it's not what the Most High commanded. That's why he says, don't add to or take away from what I'm telling you to do. Do exactly what I tell you to do. Do not go to the right or to the left. Exactly. That's why it's important. Okay? So the doctrines of men, this is the problem. Now, when we look at this, truly in scripture, we're going to see some things in the English that will lead people to a certain understanding, but when you look at it in the Hebrew or the Greek, you'll come away with a different understanding. Because remember, when we read the English, we're reading a translation. So if you learn a language and somebody says, oh, do you know this language? You say, yeah, can you translate for me? You're going to translate to the best of your ability. This is what I understand this word or these words to mean. Okay? But they may not be understanding of what those words mean. And so you're translating, and that's what the English Bible is. It's a translation from another language. It's a translation from another language. So when we look at the original language that it was translated from, we might come away with a different understanding. I want to look at a couple of those verses. So he says, the people draw nigh unto him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And then they start teaching what they want to be taught, what they believe is right. And they create a doctrine. Now, usually this is going to come from people of authority, so-called church leaders or church fathers, as they call them. But we can also do it ourselves, pending that may be contrary to the word of the Most High. But because this is, you know, what we want to believe, how we want to believe it, that's what we will come up with. And so we have to be very careful to not do that, because that leads to destruction. And we'll be saying, you know, I was, you know, that's what I thought that meant. And he says, that ain't what that meant, and that's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your eternity. So we got to watch out both ways, whether it's church authority or whether it is our own self, that we don't come up with a doctrine of our own. Go to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 20 and 21. 20 and 21. Wherefore, if you be dead with Mashiach from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Didn't say the commandments and the doctrines of the Most High. After the commandments and the doctrines of men. This is the problem. This is how in vain, this is how you come to vain worship, when you believe the doctrine of men rather than the commandments of the Most High. Because, you know, they might say, hey, if your child curses you or hits you, they got a mental disease. Strong. You need to bring them to a psychologist. The Most High said, See, that's contrary to his way and what we already know. That the Most High says, I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to pour out on you of my spirit, myself, of me, that you might do my judgment. This is going to be a hard thing for a lot of people to hear. We got that out of Ezekiel, where he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and that you might do my judgment. Because this is one thing that Israel didn't want to do. We got them in trouble. They wanted to keep the commandments. They wanted to keep the law. They wanted to keep the ordinances. But when they were found guilty of not doing those things, they did not want to take out the judgment that the law called for. Only when it was in, when it was convenient. You know, I caught my wife cheating, so now I want to take out the, I want to take the fullness of the law. And as the law calls for her death, I want to kill her. When it was to our convenience. But if it was against us personally, no. I deserve mercy. So, hypocrites. Okay. So, he's saying that we want to keep the commandment of men over his commandment, over his judgment. He says, so you worshiping me in vain. You worshiping me for nothing. I am not your Elohim. You're claiming to be my child. You're claiming to be a follower of mine, and you do not what I say do. Messiah said it. How do you say that you love me and keep not my commandments? You don't love me. You follow in after your own commandments or the commandments of men. We got to understand that. That's how we worship him in vain. If we don't do exactly what he says to do, how he says to do it, he says, then you're disobedient. And if you're disobedient, he said, you deserve death. It ain't no slap on the wrist. It ain't no get over here and let me spank you and correct you that way. No. He says, disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. I suffer not a witch to be among you. You shall kill them. So we got to understand, Messiah said, with your heart, you don't worship me. With your mouth, you worship me. With your lips, you worship me. But your heart is far from me. You're doing your own thing. You're not doing what I said to do. You're doing your own thing. I gave you my law, my statutes, my commandments, my judgment, that if you do them, you shall live. Obey them, you're not going to live. So this is how we are worshiping him in vain. Now let's look at some more things, doctrines of men. As many of us came out of the church, came out of the Sunday church, and many of us are not happy with the things that we're seeing our Hebrew brothers and sisters do, and we're wondering, well, why did we leave the church? But we know that they're not keeping the laws of the Most High. And so it's like you're stuck between a rock and a hard spot. Because Israel is still not worshiping the Most High the way the Most High said to worship him. Israel is following a lot of the commandments of men. They happen to be Hebrew men. So understand that. Just because it don't look like the Gentiles don't mean that it's scripture. Got to check that thing in with the word of the Most High. Or else you might be following a commandment or a doctrine of men. And, you know, I think I used to say it like this. I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right, that I might do it. I'm still in that place, following what Messiah is actually saying. You're doing what men do. And men are doing what they're doing, and it breaks the commandments of the Most High. But it sounds good, but it's breaking the commandments of the Most High, whether it's by tradition or whether it's by doctrine. It's breaking the commandments of the Most High. And so you say that you're worshiping me, but you don't do what I say to do. You're doing what sounds good to you. So you worship me for nothing. Your worship is empty. It's not bringing any value to the Most High. Commandments of men. Let's look at this word, the traditions or the commandments of men, because this is what he says is a problem. And then we're going to look at some scriptures and the way that they interpreted it. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead in Messiah, from the rudiments of the world, why through the living in the world are you subject to the ordinance? Let's look up this word ordinances and the word that is used for it. That word ordinances in the Greek is dogmatio. Like the word dogma, okay? The Greek, where we get the word dogma, is the word dogmatio. To prescribe by statute, in essence, reflectively, to submit to, ceremonially to rule, be subject to the ordinances, the dogma. He says, why are you following the dogma of men? Okay? Now, we're going to look at a few verses, because this word is used in a lot of verses. Let's look at Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree. That word in the Hebrew is dogma. I mean, in the Greek, it's dogma. A law, civil, ceremonial, or ecclesiastical. A decree, an ordinance. A dogma. Now, this dogma, this decree came from who? Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. So this is a decree or a commandment of men. It came from a man, and the commandment was that all the world should be taxed, all the Roman world. Okay, but the word there is dogma, an ordinance, a law, a decree. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts chapter 16, and we're going to be getting verse 4, Acts chapter 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the city, they delivered them the decree for the keep that were ordained. They delivered them the dogma the law. 10 is from men when they're using this word. That were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So this is coming from men. It happens to be the apostles. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and let's get verse 4. We can add examples of when this word is used. Acts chapter 17 and verse 7. Acts chapter 17 and verse 7. Whom Jason had received, and these all do they contrary to the decree of Caesar. So again, this word dogma, decrees, ordinances of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus, one Yeshua. The Greek word there is dogma, the commandments, the ordinances of men, the doctrines of men, what there is these are talking about. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that the word dogma is in relationship to something coming from men. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 15. Ephesians 15, in the word of the Most High read, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandment, contained in the ordinances, for to make in him of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, this word in the ordinances is dogma, the commandments, the ordinances of men. What did he nail to the cross? What did he abolish? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments, contained in the ordinances of men, not the commandments of the Most High. Of men, the doctrines of men is what he abolished. But if you just read that in the English, you might think that he abolished the commandments or the laws of the Most High that were against us. No, he abolished the doctrines of men that were against us. Because, see, all those things that cause people to sin are because people come up with a different understanding of what the laws of the Most High mean or what they say or in keeping them. The law is good. It was us that was bad. And all through Israel, they always wanted to follow after the commandments of men. If you are worshiping another God, another Elohim, and we know that there really aren't any other Elohims, there's only one Elohim. So anything else that you're worshiping, if it's not the true Elohim, you are worshiping an idol. You're worshiping the thought in something made up in some man's mind that he is choosing to worship or she is choosing to worship. The commandments, the doctrines of men or women who have chosen in their mind to worship a false deity. Because if that deity doesn't really exist, then it has to be made up. And we're supposed to know there's only one Elohim. And we worship the true Elohim. So if you're not worshiping the true Elohim, whatever you're worshiping is false. It's made up. Something created by some man or some woman. And they're saying you're supposed to worship him like this. That becomes their doctrine. That becomes their tradition. So Israel was guilty of it. The nations were guilty of it. And so we got to understand that that's what he nailed to the cross. It wasn't the law of the Most High. He didn't do away with the laws of the Most High. He did away with the ordinances, the doctrine, the laws of men that were contrary to the Most High because they caused you to sin. If you got a doctrine or a tradition that contradicts the laws of the Most High, that doctrine or tradition will cause you death. Because it puts you in direct conflict with the Most High. That's what he nailed to the cross. The traditions of men, the doctrines of men, the laws of men that are contrary to the laws of the Most High. And we were supposed to come back to the laws of the Most High. Say, oh, Messiah said not one jot or tittle. Not one jot or tittle. Would pass from the law.
Pass from the law.
As long as heaven and earth exist. So if you're still living on earth, if the heavens are still above us, the laws of the Most High are still in effect. So we got to understand that. He gave us the new covenant, a new start, because we were in transgression of the old. We broke the old. Mankind did it from the beginning. Then we chose Israel as his priesthood. As his priesthood, broke it. So we got to understand that he's bringing us back to keep his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. And sooner or later, if we are his, we have to come to that conclusion. And we have to do them. Because he says, if I give you my spirit, if you have my spirit, you're going to keep my judgment. That's why he gave us his spirit. You're going to keep my commandments and my judgment. When I saw that in the scripture, I was like, okay, this is what you've been leading me to. He showed me in Romans how Israel had a zeal of you, but not according to knowledge. And what I went back and found out is because they didn't keep your judgment. Their own righteousness, because your judgment are what make things right. When it's out of order, do the judgment, and you will set things right. You will make things just. If we can hear this and receive it, his judgments are what correct things. The law just tells you what to do as right. When you are in transgression of that, his judgments tell you how to make it back right again. The scales have to equal out. So Israel would do, say they were doing his commandments, his laws, keeping his ordinances. They were not doing it. They established their own. Over here, establish their own righteousness over his righteousness. So read it so we don't say Brother Miles said. So that we can read this with understanding. And that should be, I believe it's Romans chapter 8 or 10. No, must be. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1, then we'll come back. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel, not for the world, for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. You can have all kind of knowledge. But if it ain't correct, if it's a lie, if it's not the truth, you can have knowledge, but not according to knowledge, not according to the truth. For they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, they were ignorant of his righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. I said, Most High, how did they do that? What do you mean that they established their own righteousness? What I found is, and you can, all you got to do is listen to us. What we say, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. That's what we will say as our people. We will not say we keep his judgment. I ain't heard it yet. Won't say it. And those that connect themselves to Israel follow the same dogma, the same traditions of men. And just be parroting things. And those men, they were parroting too. Somebody told them and they parroted it. Just repeat it and made it a doctrine, made it a way of life, but that's not what the Most High said. I want you to do my judgment. Do the laws and your commandments. But we're going to establish our own righteousness. We're not doing that. That's what Israel did. That's what Israel is still doing today, and that is what the world is doing, following the doctrines of men, following the traditions of men. And breaking the commandments of the Most High by our doctrines and by our traditions. Chapter 18. Where he showed us that he's going to give us his spirit that we might do his judgment, his righteousness. His judgment set things right according to him, not according to your standard or my standard, his standard. And he is the Most High. You can't appeal above him. You can't get around him. You can't go through him. This is how vainly we worship him. You know, we think if we break a commandment that we are not following him, and that's true. But the vast majority of the guilt falls in not keeping his judgment. The law calls for. Oh, today we just go confess that he's doing just to forgive us. I didn't change that. I didn't change my law concerning that. If you break my laws today, it still calls for your death. But I have set a day. I'm going to judge all men. So you might think you're getting away with something. You might think that you're actually forgiven, and I haven't forgiven you because you did it willfully. You knew it was wrong, and you chose to do it. So you might think you're getting away. You might think you have time to repent, and you might have time to repent. I wouldn't take that chance. Once you know, I would not take that chance. Different when we're in ignorance. Different when we've been taught in error. But when we know, then I wouldn't take that chance. I definitely would not follow a doctrine of men after I know. Oh, wait a minute. That ain't what the word says. That's a doctrine somebody made up. So what he nailed to the cross, was the doctrine of men. He didn't nail his own law to the cross. He says, I'm going to forgive your transgressions. I'm going to take away the charges that are against you for transgressing the Most High's law, but I'm not canceling out the Most High's law, because if he canceled out the Most High's law, then there would be no such thing as sin. For sin is the transgression of the law. And people want to make now the doctrine of men that the laws of Messiah are different than the laws of the Most High. The laws of Christ are different than the laws of the Most High. That's a doctrine of men. Messiah is not going to contradict the Most High. And he's surely not going to cancel out except for what the Most High allows to be canceled out. Since I'm going to cancel out the debt that was against you, I'm going to cancel out your willful and your ignorant sins from the past. From the past. From your past. Your past is not back in the 1700s or back in the 1690s or back in 1 AD. Your past is according to this life and the life that you have led. The day that you came to Messiah, all your sins from the day you were born to that day are forgiven. After that, you're not supposed to sin no more. Well, all you got to do is confess. And he's true and just to forgive you. All you got to do is confess it. You fall short, confess it, and he will forgive you. That's a doctrine of men. Because not what's actually written. Go to Romans chapter 3. Look at some doctrines of men. Romans chapter 3. I think we'll just drop down to about verse 25 or 26. Freely by his grace. Underline his grace, because people don't understand grace. I've heard all kind of things about what is grace. I ain't heard the right doctrine yet. Through the redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach, the redemption that is in him, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, his lawfulness, for the remission of sins that are future. If you're reading with me, then you know I just said something that wasn't there. For the remission of sins that are past. So when you come to him and you confess that you are a sinner and you acknowledge him as your Savior, all of your sins from that day and past, not future, past, are forgiven. You get to start over with a clean slate. And so the doctrines of men will tell you, hey, if you confess your sin, he is true and just to forgive you. When you came to him, you were supposed to have confessed your sin. Everything that you knew was wrong. You were supposed to have confessed it and repented of it. Now, here's the clicker. You can't confess what you don't know. If you don't know something is a sin and you've been doing it, you can't confess that because you don't know it's a sin. That's the sin that you can confess after you come to him. So when you find out something that you're doing is sin, after you have come to him, because when you came to him, everything that you knew was a sin, you were supposed to confess your sin. Repent and confess your sin. And then not do it anymore. That is great. I'm not going to charge you with those sins. Your willful ones, and you can confess your ignorant ones to me. But you didn't know they were sins. But your willful ones, the ones that you knew, the things you knew were sins, you confessed them. And I forgave you for them. And those were all in the past. Now, what about my future sins? The only future sin that you are supposed to have, that I am supposed to have, is ignorant sin. We're doing something, we don't know it's sin. But the doctrines of men will tell you, oh, you can know it's wrong. All you got to do is confess it, say, I'm sorry, and confess it, forgive you. That is a doctrine of men. That is not what the word says. And so if we believe that, then we will be in transgression thinking we are good, that we are under grace. So I extended grace to you already. I didn't kill you for your willful sin. I allowed you to confess it, and I forgave you. That's my grace. Now, so what do you bring to me in the future? Whenever you learn that you're doing something against me, you confess it. And I am true and just to you. Ignorant sin. That other stuff is the doctrine of men. And people are walking around in this doctrine because it makes it easy for them to sin. But believe me, it's a doctrine of men. It's a tradition of men. It's not in the scripture. It is mistaught. It is misinformation. So I'm going to ask you a question. If what I just said is true, how many people do you know that are walking around in the doctrine of men, believing that they are saved, that they are good people?
A lot.
But it's a doctrine of men. And that's not what the word says. It's not how the Most High ever operated. Ever. He told Israel, if a man or a person sins ignorantly, even in the law, if they sin ignorantly, they can bring a sacrifice for that. And the priest can make an atonement. The day that they find out that it is sin, then they confess it. Confession is not new in scripture. Israel had to confess their sin. Whenever they found out that they were in sin, when they found out, they could confess it. And then an atonement could be made by the priest. But he said, the man that sins presumptuously, willfully, his iniquity shall remain upon him. He couldn't bring a sacrifice for that. He couldn't make atonement for him. He said, you shall die in your sin. That was the way the Most High operates. That's still the way he operates. That's the way that he operates. Don't change. He didn't change in the New Testament. So when he shows us Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 30, says, if we sin willfully, if we sin presumptuously, after we have come into the knowledge of the truth? There is no blood for that. There was never blood for that, not the blood of bulls and goats. And Messiah says, definitely not mine. There is no blood for that. He says, because you disrespected me. You thought nothing about what I did for you. You thought nothing about me dying for you. It was this, it was a trick or something. But you had not respect unto it. Like you spit on it. Everything I went through for you, you just spit on it. And went back and then willfully sinned. Doctrines of men. Now let's continue in this. The doctrines of men. Because people do what they think is right. They don't care what's written. It's what I think. It's what I believe I heard. Okay. The doctrines of men. Let's keep moving here. So, when we read that in laws were not nailed to the cross, it was the doctrines, the ordinances of men that were nailed to the cross that caused people to walk in error. That's why he got on the Pharisees about it. You, by your tradition, break the commandments of the Most High. You're wondering why I'm not keeping your traditions. And you're worried about me breaking the traditions of the elders. When you but try to keep what the elders are saying that are contrary to the laws of the Most High, are breaking the commandments of the Most High. And so I just showed you one that's a very big one. Just how we get into the kingdom about confessing our sin. This is not something that was new. Israel had to do it. The day that they found out something, whether it was the whole nation, whether it was the priesthood, or whether it was one man, the day that they found out that they were in transgression of his law, because they were surely they were doing it in ignorance. And then they can go to the priest and say, hey, I was doing this. I didn't know it was a sin. And the priest could make an atonement for them. And the Most High says, I will forgive them. I don't care whether it's the priesthood. I don't care whether it's all Israel. I don't care whether it's a single person. I don't care whether it's a stranger among you. When the stranger recognizes that he has sinned, he could do the same thing. It wasn't just Israel. Now we come into the New Testament. Messiah says that we worship him in vain. Our worship is empty. It's nothing. Don't mean nothing to him. He said, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. But you're doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, and using my name. He says, I don't play with that. So let's continue in this. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Now Messiah is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, woe unto you, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. People trying to get in. You ain't going in because you're being hypocritical and you're stopping people from going in who trying to go in. Now, why is he telling them that? Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and let's get verse 6. Well, let's actually start in verse 5, because let's see how it hits today. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side of the sea, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Messiah said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now his disciples thinking that he's actually talking about bread that you bake. So they say, they reason among themselves saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Messiah perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith. Why reason you among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? How many baskets you took up? Because see, they're still walking in unbelief too. He had just fed 5,000 people. Why are they worried about not having no bread? If they just understood, hey, I did this before for the masses. Why? I can make more bread. I can just take a crumb and make enough for all of us to eat on several days, if that's what it needs. Why are you worried about some bread? You're missing the message that I'm trying to teach you. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread? You should already know that I'm able to produce bread and fish and all that stuff. That the Most High from heaven will do it. If you don't know who I am, you know the work that I did. You were there. So why, when I'm talking to you, you think I'm talking about some bread? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How come you don't understand what I'm talking about? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leavening of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the doctrine of men. People are believing all these different doctrines out here, making up their own doctrines. And wondering in the last day, why is it they're not going to enter into the kingdom? Why didn't they make it into the straight gate? When Yeshua came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People always got their own thoughts and their own understanding. Say that I am. Still going on today. What do the scriptures say? What do you believe the scriptures are saying? What's your understanding? If you're not saying what the scriptures are saying, you're giving your own understanding. And if you're giving your own understanding, it's the doctrine of men. That's the doctrine of the Most High. So beware of the doctrine of men. This is how he says people worship him in vain. For nothing. Your worship is empty. No matter what you believe, Messiah is saying it. Your worship is empty because you're doing what you want to do. You're doing what's right in your own mind. Verse 1. Book of Luke, chapter 12, in verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they cried upon one upon another. This is so many people, they walking on each other, trying to get to Messiah. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware you of the leavening of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, why is there leavening hypocrisy? For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid, that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the air in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast you in hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. Don't fear the Pharisees. Don't fear the Sadducees. Fear no man. Are you not sparrows sold? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before Elohim? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than sparrows. Okay, now I want to go get just a second. I want to get another verse. Way. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Start in verse 1. Then spake Yeshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. Everything there, he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to the multitude. Whatever the Pharisees tell you to do, do it, because they sit in the seat of Moses. They sit in the law. They uphold the law. So whatever they tell you to do, you do it. But do not you after their work. Whatever they tell you to do, you do it. But don't do after their work. For they say and do not. They tell you to keep the law, but they don't keep it. They tell you to do such and such, but they don't do it. That's why they're hypocrites. Because they're telling you to do something that is of the law, but they don't do it. So he says, beware of their leavening. Because they say, and they do not. They say to do it, but they don't do it. He's not telling you, you don't do it. He says, do what they say do. Because they're telling you what to do. But they themselves don't do it. Continue. See, the commandments, the doctrine of men, turn men from the truth. It turns people from the truth. Go to Titus chapter 1. The book of Titus, chapter 1. And let's get verse 14. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, giving heed to Jewish fables, Jewish stories about people that try to teach you a lesson. Okay? And the commandments of men that turn from the truth. See, a lot of people will get into fables, and they will get into old wives' tales, and they'll get into their own understanding that will turn them actually from the truth. And they'll believe that they are in the truth. But it turns you from the truth. And when we don't worship Elohim, when we don't worship God in spirit and in truth, it turns us away from him. That's why this lesson is so important, because he says, many are going to say in that day, did we not cast out spirits in your name? Did we not heal people in your name? Did we not profess your name? Get away from me. I never knew you. But we said we knew you. Yeah, but I never knew you. I never knew you. You didn't do what I said to do. You did what you thought was right, but you didn't do what I said to do. So, old fables, wise tales, and all those things, they turn people from the truth, because they try to teach a certain type of truth, but it's not the truth of the Most High. Commandments of men, the doctrines of men, that contradict the doctrines of the Most High. So just like when Israel was in disobedience to the Most High, and he told them, you're not going to enter into the promised land, today when people are disobedient to the Most High, he says, you're not entering into my kingdom. I never knew you. He don't change. And so we have to walk in lockstep with him, not in lockstep with people. With the doctrines of men, the commandments of men, with the thought, our own thoughts, our own understanding. Got another one of these that is prevalent today. That's the doctrine of men. I got time. Look at the Lord's Day. Because if you are a Protestant Christian, or you're a Catholic Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, Sunday, the Lord's Day, then you are following the doctrine of men. It never even said to do that in the scripture. But let's look at this, what's actually there. The Lord's Day. You only find that one time in the scripture, and it's actually talking about the day of wrath, the Lord's Day, the day of wrath, when he's going to come back and said, every knee shall bow to him and every tongue shall confess to him. That's his day that he brings destruction on this earth. But the Catholic Church took that and made it the first day of the week. The Lord's Day. All of the churches that came out of the Catholic Church, which are called the Protestant Church, which is those churches that were born, you name them, they are all the daughters of the Catholic Church. They all keep Sunday. And the Catholic Church itself will tell you, no, the Sabbath is Saturday, but we keep Sunday. And this is why we keep it. But let's see what the scripture says. Now, one of the things in the scripture that we're not supposed to do, we're not supposed to make a doctrine out of one verse. Every verse has to have a witness of it. That's why the Old and the New Testament have to line up. The one is witnessing of the other. So, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. But this is the law. And when we know the law, then we'll know why Messiah did not condemn the woman that they brought to him, accusing her of adultery. But if we don't know the law, we'll just think that, you know what, he just didn't want to condemn her. No, the law prevented him from condemning her. The law. Deuteronomy chapter 19, and let's get verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. One witness, one person. One person can't come and accuse another person of an iniquity. Because in the law, under the law of the Most High, that iniquity would cost that person their life. So he says, you're not going to bring somebody and give them death on the voice of one person, on the witness of one person. Sin, in any sin that it, he sinned. One witness can't do this at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So let's take the woman at the well. Not the woman at the well. Let's take the woman that they brought to Messiah. And they were accusing her of adultery. That she was caught in the very act of adultery. Where was the man at? You caught her in the act. Where's the man at that you caught her with? They only brought her. So Messiah, you know, leans down. He's writing in the dirt. He said, now they're trying to fool me. They're trying to trick me into condemning this woman. So let me just throw something back in their face. Any of you here that has never sinned, you cast the first stone. That's not what the law called for. The law didn't call for that. But what he did was saying, okay, you think you know the law? Now let me, the law giver, use the law that you say that you keep against you. If you are innocent and you have never sinned, cast the first stone. That was never a requirement in the law. Except by two or three witnesses. There's nothing about those witnesses having to be not sinners. So Messiah said, okay, he who was out sin, let you cast the first stone. Well, they knew that they were all sinners. They left. Now there's only him and the woman left. And he asked her, where are your accusers? Now, the law required two or three. He says, neither do I accuse you then. Because if I accuse you, I know what you've done. And I know that they caught you in adultery. They didn't follow the law and bring the man. But it's only me left. The law requires that there's two or three witnesses. So neither do I condemn you. Now, what did he tell her? Now, go and sin no more. She was guilty, but he couldn't condemn her because of the law, or else he would have sinned. So the scriptures have to have a witness of themselves. Can't take one scripture and make a doctrine. Has to have a witness. See if this changed in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time that I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Got to be witnesses, even to the word of the Most High. The Most High is not going to give a testimony to one person or a doctrine to one person. Say, hey, if that's the case, he's going to bring two or three that it might be established. Can't have your own doctrine that's separate and apart from the people of the Most High and say that you belong to him. It's not the way he operates. Never has and never will. Go to Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew chapter 18. Get verse 16. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16. Now, this is what Messiah is telling them. When you are in the company of believers, this is how you're supposed to, you're not supposed to take your stuff to the world. Okay? And if you have an odd against your brother or your sister, it's just you two. Y'all the only witnesses. Y'all got a problem with each other. He says, hey, don't y'all try to come one against the other. Y'all go get some witnesses and let this thing be established. So if he shall neglect to hear them. No, let's go back to the first thing. If he shall neglect, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that the mouth of, but that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Change. So if you got an ought with your brother or your sister, you go to them and you try to handle it, they won't hear you. Just go back to them with one more or two more people, that it be established. Now, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, you went and got witnesses. Hey, what's going on here? Well, they say this, I say that, and this is what's going on, and they're wrong, and it can be proven that they're wrong, and this person still won't hear, still won't repent. He says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, today, you ain't got hardly too many people that are going to go tell nothing to the church. Not too many people trust the church. And a lot of the churches are in error. But when the church is operating the way it's supposed to operate, the church is supposed to help govern. We as saints are not supposed to be taking other saints to worldly court. Well, they did this, and this is what I want for justice. No, he says you're supposed to do that within the body. So take it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or as a publican. That means that you're not supposed to have anything to do with this person anymore. Under the law. Under the law, this person would have been killed. They wouldn't have been considered as a heathen or a publican. That person would have been killed. You don't want to listen to authority? The law called for their death. If you and I went to the church and we had a disagreement and the church says, well, this is how it's going to be handled, and you didn't agree with that decision, under the law, that would have been a priest and an elder. And whatever sentence they came down with, whatever decision they came down with, you were obligated to abide by it. And if you didn't abide by it, the law said you were to be killed. If you were in disagreement and you didn't agree, you didn't bring yourself into submission. So you were to be killed. Now he's saying, hey, you are to treat this person as a heathen, as a publican. You don't have anything to do with them. Because they won't submit themselves to authority. They're going to do what they want to do. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses. One person can't bring an accusation. So we have more than one witness, that there has to be more than one witness. We went to more than one place in the scripture and says somebody of iniquity, of a sin, if it's only you that know it. And when they brought the woman to Messiah, he made sure that there was only one witness left. Now, you can't be condemned. Where are your accusers at? I'm the only one left here. Neither do I condemn you. Now, go and sin no more. Don't let them bring you back or catch you for doing the same thing. With anybody, you're not supposed to bring an accusation against them if you're the only one that know it. At the witness of two or three people. So when we are finding something in the scripture, we can't just find one verse that says it and make a doctrine out of that. Because if it's truly the word of the Most High, it's going to have other scriptures that say the same thing. From the old and the new. It's going to line up. You just have to look long enough to find it. If it's only in there once, then you got to say, okay, maybe I misunderstood this. Maybe that's not what it's saying, but maybe that's not what it's saying. Okay. Let's see. I think it's 7:01. We're going to stop here for this evening. I'll pick this up in the morning. We're going to look at the day of the Lord as a doctrine of men. And that even the Christian churches, because they are following the doctrine of men, that's why he says, many shall come to me in that day. Because they're following the doctrine of men. You don't even hear the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath was a separate covenant all by itself, all unto itself. A covenant unto itself. A contract unto itself. Had nothing to do, let me say it that way. It was included in the covenant that he made with Israel. But he started that covenant from the very beginning when he rested. And he included that covenant, that contract, in the covenant with Israel, in the first covenant with Israel. So when he cancels the covenant, the first covenant with Israel, it doesn't cancel the Sabbath covenant. Because it was separate from it, just included with it. Sabbath in there. Because they don't understand the Sabbath. They don't understand that it's a separate contract unto itself. Keeping the Sabbath, a separate contract unto itself. So when we see them saying don't keep it. If they understand the law, if they understand the Sabbath, they knew that the Sabbath was separate from the original covenant with Israel. It was included with it, but it was a separate contract. I can cancel this contract and not cancel the contract of the covenant. The fact that I told you, that I gave you, to keep these laws, these statutes, these commandments, is separate and apart from the original covenant. Separate and apart from it. So believing the doctrines of men is how they said, he said that they worship him in vain. You worship me for nothing because you're doing things that I told you not to do, and you're not doing things I told you to do. You're listening to men and their traditions and their doctrines. And their traditions and their doctrines are causing you to break my commandments. You believe, and you wouldn't go look for yourself. You believe that you're worshiping me the way that I want you to worship me. But in vain do you worship me. It's empty. It don't mean anything to me because you are in disobedience. So you're going to use my name. And you're going to tell people that you love me. And you're going to cast out demons in my name. You're going to heal the sick in my name. Because when demons hear my name, they tremble. But you're using it, and you ain't supposed to be using it. You never submitted yourself. So vainly do they worship me. In vain do they worship me. But their hearts are far from me. So we're going to look at this when it comes to the Lord's Day. Because it is a doctrine of men. And I'm going to show you right in the scripture that where you see on the first day of the week, that is not there. And the actual word there is Sabbath. Translated that the first day of the week. But when you look at the original text, that ain't there. So what the church is using to worship on the first day of the week, it's not even in scripture. It's a translation. And it's a translation in error. And I don't know if the error was intentional, because men, you know, had their own agenda. Was the most I wanted to allow it to see if we would search it out? But as I said, when we go back, in this case, we're going to go back into the Greek, find out that it don't say on the first day of the week. And when I looked at that word in the rest of the scriptures, where they're saying the church met on the first day of the week, that's the first of the Sabbath. Or at the end of the Sabbath. But it don't say the first day of the week. So when they say the Lord's Day is on the first day of the week, and that he came out of the tomb on the first day of the week, he came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Day of the week. No, came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath. But it was still on the Sabbath. It's like saying, when you going out tonight? Well, I'm going to go out tonight. Well, if you go out tonight, according to the worldly way, you got to go out before 11:59. Because once it's 12 o'clock, it's the next day. And that is night still, but it's the next day. That's important. The same thing here. The end of the Sabbath is still the Sabbath. So we'll pick this up in the morning. We're going to look at the Lord's Day. Because this is what's causing people to into false salvation. He says the doctrine of men. This is what caused people to worship him in vain. The doctrine of men. We got to know that. So may the Most High bless. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, saint. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your evening. And let me roll the credits.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, my sisters and brothers. Happy Sabbath to you. I think it's my brother Charlton here. Shalom, Brother Charlton.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
All right. Happy Sabbath to you, my brother. Peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.